The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back. It's hour two at 10:04. I'm Randy Corporan. Me and my voice, happy to be here with you. If you weren't here in the first hour, I confessed to being at the Stanley Cup final game last night, a bad idea prior to coming in to try and do 3 hours of talk radio. But there is a very interesting connection to the Avalanche and my married life. I told you in the first hour, and if you're a regular listener, you know this was the thing for my daughter and I to do. Teaching her to drive was another, but the Avalanche games were, she loved them. I got to tell you, I get more hugs at the Avalanche game if I'm with her than on Father's Day, on my birthday. I mean, those are great hugs, you know, on those holidays, but at the Avalanche game, it's just, it's more fun. And, you know, when the Avalanche came here, they came down from Quebec. And the very first year, you may recall, they won the Stanley Cup. And, man, this was pre-politics for me and pre-political correctness in our national sports. And so it was just a glorious thing to get introduced to this new sport that I'd never really paid any attention to. Even as a Colorado College student, I was just barely interested in the college games between Colorado College and DU. I got interested as I saw really world champion level college, you know, hockey. And so that was my introduction. Then the Avalanche come in, win their Stanley Cup the first time back in 1996. And so I was with my wife longer, but I married her in 2002. And it just so happened that our wedding day and then our wedding reception, especially the reception, occurred during Game 4 of the Avalanche-Detroit Red Wings Western Conference Final. And so you can imagine the conflict. I mean, you know, I'm at my wedding. It's an important day. But this was the Western Conference Final. It was the Detroit Red Wings. And at Game 4, the Avalanche had, let's see, I think they were down, they were down 2-1. And so it was very, very important. And it was an away game. It was at the Red Wings. And so there was a bar at the place where we had our wedding reception. And there were so many guys in there from our wedding reception. And so I would just sneak off, and then there'd be something about big really ready to happen. And then I'd hear, will the groom return to the dance floor? And of course I did, and got back out there and dance with my wife and my mom and my stepdaughter and some new family members and just all of it. And it was just wonderful. But I've had this love affair with the Avalanche and those special times for such a long time because of those memories, and walked away from it during the shutdowns and then the masking, prove your vax status and political correctness even on the ice. But it's really been fun to return to it now. And if you were with me in the first hour, I talked to you about serendipity, showing up and in these randomly selected seats. You know, I'm looking for the bargain seats. I'm not paying thousands of dollars for a ticket. And I walk down, and there is the husband of one of my superstar lawyers at my law firm, who he also happens to do our IT. And then sitting next to him is Republican Colorado gubernatorial candidate Heidi Gnall. And Heidi is with her dad. I had never met him before, knew nothing about what was going on, was kind of stunned, you know, on the Friday night before the last weekend, before the primary, to see her there. And then I heard the story. And it was, they were celebrating her dad's birthday. And what a, you've heard my stories about my dad before he passed 2 years ago last March. And I just, was so important to me. And then we found out the dude was a dirt biker. So, of course, that led to me showing him videos of my three-year-old grandson getting air in his little races and his little practices and stuff. And it was just a wonderful, as my dad loved to use the word all the time, serendipitous moment. And so coincidentally, maybe there are no coincidences, but so pleased to be joined right now by Colorado Republican gubernatorial candidate Heidi Ganahl. Heidi, how's your voice today?
Hey, Randy, it's bleak. It's bleak from all that yelling last night. What a great game. Unfortunately, didn't have the ending we wanted, but I guess that means we get another good game to watch.
Yeah, no, you saw how intense my daughter is at those things. And so
she was great.
She was bummed. But we've been through these series before, and the likelihood of Tampa winning three in a row and, the next two to win this thing are pretty slim, but we get excellent games. And unless the Avalanche close it out tomorrow night, that means one more home game. Game seven, the best there is in the Stanley Cup Finals. So I don't know. They always look on the bright side, right?
Yeah, and I think, isn't that game on primary night of all nights for it to be on?
Yes.
If it happens.
Yes, what a nice distraction. To heck with those vote
That's
results.
A great point.
Yeah. I'll check in after 9 o'clock when the game's over and see what if I won or not. But it was really cool that that Anthony was there, and then he just happened. You didn't know him either, right? It was just pure coincidence that he and his colleague were there, and you and your dad were there, just in the same seats that we happened to randomly get.
Well, I kidded with him when I first sat down. I kind of tested the waters to see what his political persuasion was, if I was going to have to behave myself or I could be really rowdy with my Heidi for Governor shirt on.
Yeah,
but he was great.
Yeah, well, and I guess you knew he had mentioned somehow that his wife worked for me, right? Didn't you tell me that? Or didn't he tell me that?
That's right.
Yeah.
The whole thing was just crazy, but crazy cool. We had such a good time, and my dad loved getting to talk to you and watch your videos. He's a big fan anyway, so it was a highlight for him of the night.
Well, I have to say, it was really cool to talk to him and make the connection as a biker, and he's taking care of your grandkids, and I can now share that joy, experiencing it somewhat myself. And then to hear that he was a regular listener to the show, that was really cool. I mean, he knew the grandson story. I didn't have to share it with him. So that was, I don't know, it was just a really cool thing. Now, you said when you came in that you got a little flack walking in your bright red Heidi for Governor shirt. I guess people took one look at you and said, you're not only supporting Heidi for Governor, you are Heidi for Governor.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, I made the deal with my dad. I'm like, for your birthday and Father's Day, because they're on the same day on June 19th, I want to surprise you with this gift, but I know we're going to be just hardcore campaigning. Is it okay if I wear my Heidi shirt to the game so I don't have an excuse for not campaigning at the same time? And he's like, absolutely. And then my dad wears his, of course, too. And my dad's one of my biggest fans and supporters on the planet. So it worked out perfectly. And we had a wonderful time. And I got to spend some time with my dad, which I haven't gotten to spend a lot of time with my family, but it was just such a joy. And I love watching the Avs. I love watching lots of sports teams. Mostly the Colorado Buffs are my favorite. Like, I'm a huge college football fan, but the Avs are up there along with the Broncos and Rockies and Nuggets, of course. And
well,
Mama.
Don't want to leave anybody out. Well,
no.
Did you get any media attention at all? Did anybody come and talk to you? Hey, your last home stretch of a campaign, you're here at the Avs game, any comments, or were you left by? I would suspect you'd be left pretty much alone because they just don't want to give a whole lot of attention to Republican candidates.
Boy, that's the truth. I had tons of people walk up to me and say they'd voted for me or had questions. And then I ran into Joe O'Day, who was in the line, grabbing a drink. So that was fun. And then we did get filmed when we were first walking in, checking in, but I didn't check. Obviously, I wasn't watching the news, so I don't know if it made it onto the news, but they didn't ask me any questions. Obviously, probably because of what you said. It's like, you're for what party? Oh, gosh, no, we're not going to talk to you. That seems to be the case with a lot of the mainstream media. But although I've had some good interviews in the last couple of weeks with Colorado Public Radio and Westword and CBS, so they're interested. They want to hear from us as candidates, but they're tough interviews. They want to talk about certain things that they know are divisive instead of the things that most of Colorado cares about, which is skyrocketing crime and the cost of living, cost of gas, and obviously our kids who are in a big crisis right now around suicide, drug addiction, and not being able to read, write, or do math.
You really become a master, don't you, of listening to the question, donating about three words and a couple of ounces of oxygen to it, and then jumping forward to the things that people actually want to hear about.
That's right, Randy. And I think one of the challenges for us running in the Republican Party is getting our message out. And God bless you guys that are doing conservative radio right now. You are the way we're getting our message out. And it's so important that voters do their research right now and select candidates who can win this fall. And I've won statewide. I'm the only Republican who's won in almost 8 years. I've got lots of parents and moms behind me on the education reform stuff that I've been working on for years. And I'm also a small business owner. So I started Camp Bow Wow and grew it for many years. And I just love helping entrepreneurs and business people grow their business and create jobs. That's my passion. But at the end of the day, I'm running because I don't want to wake up in 5 or 10 years and think I could have done something and didn't. And I just am so horrified and worried about what's happening, not just to Colorado, but to our country. Although it's been a good day, a good week at the Supreme Court.
Oh, man. I felt so light yesterday, just knowing that something so incredibly significant, not, you know, damaging the rights of women, but undoing something that was so incredibly, even Ruth Bader Ginsburg understood that Roe v. Wade was bad case law, bad constitutional law. And to see justices in the face of death threats and assassination attempts and, nonstop, illegal, violative of federal law protests out in front of their homes where Joe Biden did absolutely nothing, to stand firm and deliver that decision. There is hope for America and there is hope for Colorado.
I agree with you. And I hope to be the first woman governor and to represent women in a way that Jared Polis is not by signing that disgusting abortion law he just did. I've loved being an advocate for young women, and I think giving them economic prosperity and a bright future ahead is the best way that we can help them and support them in tough decisions that they may have to make when dealing with issues like we've been talking about all week. But also, you know, just the Supreme Court has been impressive in that they're just, to your point, they have a spine. They're standing up. They're not being bullied down. And we've got to do that as candidates and as leaders in our party, too. We don't have to compromise our principles to bring new people into our tent, as evidenced by the flipping of 10 school boards last fall, how important the parents realize schools are, and the nonsense that they're teaching in schools is really ticking parents off, whether they're Republicans, Democrats, unaffiliated. And I honestly think that's how we're going to get across the finish line this fall.
Well, the opportunities are grand. And I've only had one other candidate call in today. I always leave it sort of open on Saturdays. Anybody who wants to come in can grab a few minutes. But so you've already sort of talked about why you think you're the candidate to move ahead. So let me just ask you a question. You did win statewide when you became CU regent. How different is not only the political climate in Colorado, but the, I don't know, the significance of the job, I guess? Is it a whole different race that you're having to run? Can you talk about that for just a minute?
I think it's more the time in history. It's such a pivotal moment for our state and for our country. And 6 years ago, you know, things were bad, but not quite on fire like they are now. And so there's just a big sense of urgency, and a lot of people are awake to what's happening that weren't awake 6 years ago. So I think that's the difference now. But as far as the playbook and how we win, no, it's not much different. It's speaking to the issues that lots of people in Colorado care about and staying, you know, focused on crime, kids, the cost of living, becoming energy independent again. Those are things we can all agree on, everybody, Democrats, Republicans, independents. And that's how we've got to bring people together to win this election. I've got to be the leader that brings all the different groups that are upset right now together to vote differently. And that's the restaurant industry, the energy industry, the farmers, the ranchers, the parents. All of them are upset for different reasons. So I've got to lead, as I've done at Camp Bow Wow and building a big franchise company, and as a regent at CU and in my various nonprofits. It's all about building a big, bold vision and getting people behind you. And that's what we've got to do right now. We've got 4 days to win the primary, which man, the Democrats are making that difficult by pumping millions of dollars in to help my opponent. That wasn't something, you know, we expected. We thought they'd play fair, but those are the cards we're dealt, so we'll win anyway. And we're trying to make people aware of that so they do their research and don't get fooled by what's happening.
Well, you and I talked briefly last night between screaming about the fact that this fight to stop Colorado's semi-open primary needs to continue and how important it is. We're seeing that Lauren Boebert's district in the governor's race, in the U.S. Senate race, in the Secretary of State race, that that outsiders, non-Republicans, people who don't share our values and have a different view, are looking for and have great availability for ways to influence our primary elections. We have to put a stop to that. So, Heidi Ganahl, how can people see you in these remaining couple of days, and how can they learn more about you?
Well, thanks, Randy. We're having a big rally at the Wide Open Saloon in Sedalia at 2 o'clock today, and then we're having another rally in El Paso County at Brakeman Burgers tomorrow night at 5. And gosh, just running around, door knocking, calling, texting, anyone who wants to volunteer and help. We need your help and support. It's really easy to do it from your home. Even there's an app you can download, and then just share on social media, get people to turn in those ballots. Right now, I know a lot of Republicans are holding on to those ballots because of their concerns with the election integrity, and that's fine, but encourage all of your friends to be ready to turn them in the next couple of days so that we can pick our own opponent and not let Jared Polis and the Democrats play shenanigans in our primary, as you mentioned as well. So HeidiForGov.com is the website. We're all over social media, including Truth and Getter. We had some incredible interviews over the last few days on War Room with Bannon and John Solomon. And gosh, it's just been a crazy few days, but lots of good content on there too. You know, check out and learn more about us, and lots of debates online between Greg and I. If you want to check those out, the Republican Rumble, we were at the Western Conservative Summit. So I think there's 8 different debates or forums online where you can see a contrast there as well.
I'm glad you mentioned Bannon. I was this morning when I thought you might call in after our conversation last night at the Avalanche game. And then I had heard that you got some pushback about appearing on Bannon on War Room. What was that experience like? I know Steve a little bit. I've had him at Tea Party meetings and certainly enjoy so much of the battle that he is in. But what was that experience like? And is it true you got some pushback for being there?
Oh, yes. I get pushback for being on anything. I swear, whether it's from one side.
Are you
or the
on
other.
With that Corcoran again? Right-wing Tea Party nut?
Oh my gosh. I've been a warrior for free speech at CU, and I started the Free to Be Coalition, which encouraged students to listen to all perspectives and to get uncomfortable on both sides. And so I am approaching it the same way, except for Kyle Clark. He's kind of a stinker, but everybody else I've been talking to. And, you know, I know some folks that know Bannon and some other, you know, big players on that front because of my work with Job Creators Network. So I was the chair of the board there for many years, fighting for small business owners across the country. And we helped get the Trump tax cuts done in 2017. So I know a lot of those folks. They want to help me out. They want to get me across the finish line. And they've been fantastic, including Brad Parscale, who's been on the radio a few times for me in the last week, and is encouraging folks to support me as well.
Very good. Well, Heidi, it was really great to meet your dad and to share some of the similar likes and these grandparent experiences and everything. It's always cool to get to know people a little bit outside of the bright lights and gloom and doom of political battles. So it was great to see you there with your dad on a birthday. And thank you very much for taking a few minutes to call in today.
Well, thanks for having me, Randy. I appreciate it. And we'll talk soon again, I'm sure.
Yeah. 3 more days. We're going to know probably who's going to be having a lot of conversations between now and November. Should be really, really exciting. So, well, good luck. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
It's 1022. Lines are full. 303-696-1971. We'll get right back to it when we return here on 710 KNUS. Grr, Eddie Money. My teenage love, lusted for that man when we stumbled across him at a bar in Wisconsin. A little underage, not recommended, underage drinking going on back in the day. And he was playing up on an attic floor. I've told this story before. And there was a real, and she was cute, but there was a real connection there. And I was not happy. It was a cold drive home. Almost wanted to just leave her there. But I digress. It's 10:28. It's really good to have you here. So far, my Stanley Cup Finals voice is holding out just fine. That is in large part to great audio, long bumper music, and extremely excellent callers. We heard from Eric Odland in the first hour running for CD7. Just hung up with Heidi Ganahl, who's running to be the Republican gubernatorial candidate here in Colorado. We'll get back to the phones here in 1 second with Marcus, Rich, and Peter. But a text message came in. Let me see if I can find it again. I didn't quite understand this. I do not get, and I know we've got full lines right now, but when this came in, there was an open line. Why these gutless lefties don't just call? 303-696-1971. If you can't get through, send another text. Your number is right there, and we'll call you. Happy to. Love it. We won't identify you. Won't give out your number. Of course not. But would love to hear from you. And here is one of the stupid comments. Can't wait to see how happy all those dads you spoke of are when they get hit with 18 years of child support. Like that's a consideration when it comes to sucking babies into a sink. When it comes to breech delivering a baby and leaving the head inside the birth canal. And as soon as the body's out, but before the head is out, inserting a sharp pointed object into the base of the neck to sever the spine. That is a partial birth abortion. Perfectly legal special clinic just for that here in Boulder. And this moron's talking about child support. And then he says, also calling the president a, quote, retard certainly shows your maturity. And I just want to make clear, I did not call the president a retard. It was this guy.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. As the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping, traveling with him. And this one traveled 17,000 miles when I was vice president. I don't know that for a fact.
You in full retard, man.
It was that black dude who called him a retard. Not me. So leave me alone here. What is wrong with these liberals? 303-696-1971. If you'd like to call in and say something, besides, I understand that retard is no longer, that is a disfavored term. When I'm talking about the putative president currently in command of the military and the nuclear codes, I like to use, I don't know, more modern terms like demented, tending toward pedophilia, things like that, that are very accurate. Very descriptive. You can go on YouTube, watch the videos all by yourself. I mean, this guy he was never that bright. He was never that bright. He got caught up in so many scandals where he lied, where he plagiarized. He lied about his law school record, his grades. He arrogantly shouting down a reporter, I'm smarter than you. I did this and I did that. It was all lies. And he had to admit it and drop out of a race. He was caught up stealing other people's speeches. I wish I had the quote. He referred to Barack Hussein Obama as a clean and, oh, I forget the term. It was clean and sanitary and just a nice man, you know, nice, that nice black man over there. And he hasn't had a principle in his life. Remember, and we will get to the phones right after this. Remember Joe Biden on abortion before and after.
I do not view abortion as a choice and a right. I think it's always a tragedy. And I think that it should be rare and safe. And I think we should be focusing on how to limit the number of abortions. And there ought to be able to have a common ground and consensus as to do that.
I thought there was another piece to that. Was that the whole thing, Leroy? Because I thought they showed the flip, his current stance. Well, regardless, we know where he stands now. And that's where he stood then. That is not an evolution. That is a political opportunist. The installed president of the United States is a lifetime politician, a political opportunist who has enriched himself off of corruption and China and family shenanigans, who has a son that is just the most stunning example of decadence and lack of concern for others and for following the law or for managing your family name and your heritage and your reputation. And it was that black dude at the end of the clip that called him a retard. 303-696-1971. We promise calls. Let's get back to the phones. We will start with Marcus in Colorado, apparently. Marcus, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing, Randy?
Good, man.
Yeah, not bad. On the abortion thing, you know, sometimes they don't tell the truth.
Who's they?
It was like, well, I'm just saying, in politics and everything else.
Okay.
And when Wade came up, and they don't talk about Norma McCrory. And she got pregnant in 1969, and she had two kids and everything, and the husband was working hard and everything. She had abortion. So
this is Peter. This is Peter, case, right? I just want to clarify. We got Peter instead of Marcus.
No, I'm not Peter.
Okay, this is Marcus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now
go
I'm
ahead.
Just saying, in 1973. When she went to court and everything, and so that was known as Jane Roe. And so that's it. And so that's how everything came out of that. And years later, she said she felt bad, you know?
Sure. Sure. And
economy and hardships and everything else.
And the left and the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine has killed that story. They've never acknowledged the change of heart, how that person was manipulated. That baby was born, by the way, before the case ever, you know, turned into the so-called landmark Roe v. Wade decision. And but setting all
she
that aside,
felt guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think many mothers who abort children and fathers have those same feelings after the fact. And listen, I don't condemn anyone who has made a decision without the knowledge or the support or whatever. And then regrets it later and seeks forgiveness and maybe even stands up to help future unborn or whatever, because everybody makes a mistake. But,
And you're the same. You care about people.
Sure. Sure.
And, you know, but you always tell the truth though, you know, Randy, and the politicians always say, just say what. You could say this and this. What's your plan?
Yeah, that's always a great question, because they'll talk about, we got to do this and we got to do that. How are you going to do it? What's your first step?
That's what I want to know.
Great question. Great question, Marcus. Hey, thanks for waiting and weighing in this morning on the show. We really
you
do appreciate
take care.
It. God bless. Remember the Joe Biden administration when the protests were building around the Supreme Court justices' homes? And recently, the new press secretary made a comment about, "Oh, we haven't spoken out about that." Listen to her, followed by the original press secretary, Jen Psaki. I like Psaki, so I just can't. I have to pronounce the P.
Does the president believe that there should be any type of protesters picketing
this
outside
is today.
Of judges' homes when there's a case pending before them?
So, you know, we have not weighed in on where people should or should not protest.
Protests
that have been peaceful to date, and we certainly continue to encourage that outside of judges' homes, and that's the president's position.
Yeah. So the president was inciting violence, virtual insurrection, violating federal law. It's against federal law to protest outside a judge's home. And Jen Psaki confirmed that it was the Biden policy to support those protests. So, Mr. Liberal Texter, who's offended by somebody else's use of the word retard when talking about our demented, installed president, 303-696-1971. It's just that easy. Let's go to the phones. Rich is standing by. Rich in Denver, good morning.
Randy, Rich Wyatt calling. How are you today?
Hey, it's Big Rich. How you doing, brother?
I'm not in Denver. I'm in Evergreen. I don't want to be, you know, tainted with that brush. So let me just cover that.
Well,
how are you today, Randy?
You need to fix your GPS tracking system then on our phone, because I show you.
Oh, I was when I called.
Ah,
yeah,
there you go.
But I'm back. right. I'm back home now. So I didn't know I was being tracked. I didn't know you had the feds on me. Okay.
Well, you're used to that, brother. You're used to that.
I am. It'll never go away. Listen, this primary is coming up, and you know we got some critical races and some fantastic candidates here. And I just wanted to encourage everybody to get out and vote for the top of the line on the Republican ticket, just all the way down, you know, from Eric Odlin you had on today, Tina Peters, Ron Hanks. We just got to get out and get these people elected and get people to fill out those ballots and get them in there and dropped off and get their sticker that says I voted.
If you were listening to the show earlier, I ran into just pure coincidence, really cool, in a packed stadium to have Heidi Gnall sitting a few seats down. And part of one of our conversations was, you know, do you think, is it cooked? Is the sauce cooked? Do people already know what they're going to do? The winners are already, you know, out there somewhere. Or is there, you know, these last days of knocking on doors and pounding the pavement and calling into radio shows, can that still make a difference? You are a very politically savvy individual. What do you think?
I think it absolutely makes a difference. I know when Bob Beaupre was running for Congress, I supported him in the 7th here, which we have a big race going on right now. And he won by 121 votes, I believe, you know, and that's a very tight margin. And so against Mike Feely, who would have been just a tremendous train wreck. I know he's an attorney, but he's you know,
careful now. Crap. Wyatt.
Yes, I will. Sorry. I wasn't putting you in that bracket.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's such a great point you make. I mean, you just don't know, you know, and do we have to overcome, you know, ballot stuffing and ballot harvesting and all of the law breaking that I believe goes on in Colorado elections every single time.
We absolutely have to overcome that. But the other thing is, I'm shocked too, just like sometimes you are. At our meeting at the Mountain Republican Club last Tuesday night, we had Eric Odlin, who's fantastic, and we had Ron Hanks, who's fantastic. And there were people in the room that night that it approached me before the meeting started and said they weren't sure yet. And thank God that they were able to come out to that meeting and to see these guys and to meet them and to understand, you know, all the trash talking that's going on about Tina Peters with her indictment. I mean, these things are insane. You know, I was indicted. I was charged by Jefferson County, by Pete Weir for things that I never did. And they never, ever, ever let me go to trial on those. They dismissed the case 3 years later because it was all political theater, you know, and I believe that's what's happening with Tina Peters. And I just hope people aren't blinded by that and that they get out and they vote right. Because, you know, the other side of this coin is Mike O'Donnell, who has no chance, and Pam Anderson, who is, you know, Jenna Griswold's light. And so, you know, we cannot let this happen. We got to get people like Tina Peters. And, you know, you had Eric on earlier, and Eric's one of the best candidates that's out there. I mean, you just can't find something to tarnish his shine. And so we just got to get the people up off the couch, out to vote, because it's so important.
Well, Rich, it's awful good to hear from you. And I recall for about the last, I don't know, 6 months or 6 years, you've had a present for me. So we've got to get together one of these days so I can finally, once and for all, see what the heck.
I drank it and smoked them.
No, I'm just kidding.
But we do need to get together, brother.
Yeah.
It's sitting right here in my car. But I'd love to do that. And thanks for doing what you're doing with the radio show and being on there and doing such a great job. We appreciate you and love you so much.
The fight will never end, and that is for sure.
All right, brother.
Talk to you later.
We'll see you soon.
All right. Well, that was a special treat. Rich Wyatt has become a friend, and I'll tell you what, in this business, you learn folks you think are your friends aren't, or they were phony friends, and then others come into your life that you never knew or never knew about, and they turn out to be very special individuals in many different ways. And so pretty darn cool to be sitting in this seat, and I appreciate each and every one of you. You know it. It's 10:43. We're late on the break. Peter Jack, sit tight. We'll get back to the phones. Rich's line is open, 303-696-1971. 696-1971. By the way, that clip that I played where the black dude at the end calls Joe Biden a retard, that was when he was introducing the newest Supreme Court Justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson. And to fumble that moment, which was, you know, significant for him. I promised to elect the first black woman to the Supreme Court, nominate the first black woman. Fine. Would have been nice to do someone, you know, who at least could define what a woman is. Interesting, isn't it, how the left now all of a sudden remembers what a woman is? A woman's body, a woman's right to choose, a woman's right to kill her baby, a woman's health decisions, a woman's health freedom. Huh. My, how things change just depending on what the topic is. I hope, and you call me out if it does, I hope that never happens around here. We right back. More of your calls next on 710 KNUS. All right, here I am. I'm not sure where that noise is coming from on my computer. Something I wanted to play for you. All right, well, I'll get that figured out, and we'll put a stop to it, and then we'll come back to that here in just a second. Instead, why don't we go to our full lines? We had promised Peter next. We got Peter, Jack, and Gary standing by. So, Peter in Denver, good morning, sir. Welcome.
Good morning, Randy. I still have my ballot. I haven't filled in my pick for governor yet in the primary. And they're both very close, Heidi and George Lopez. But listening to your interview with Heidi, now, I may be wrong. I don't know. I have to think about it. Did she just give a very subtle endorsement for Joe O'Day when you were talking to her there, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't say that at all. She mentioned to me that she saw Joe O'Day outside in the arena.
Yeah,
when she came back to the seats, and all she did was mention that here. So, no, I don't think so.
Okay, I was just wondering.
But how would that impact your decision on governor?
That would make me vote Lopez for sure.
And why is that?
Because I was at the Western Conservative Summit, and which you would agree is pretty much the base of the conservatives in Colorado. And the enthusiasm was a lot more for Hanks than O'Day. O'Day got a cold yet polite reception. As I was sitting out there when when Rockler interviewed both candidates.
Interesting. And I was, you know, backstage and on stage a couple of times and then broadcast the show there, did the well-received. I was really excited at the turnout at our presentation on stopping the Colorado open primary for the 2024 election cycle. So I didn't see or hear any of those things that you were talking about. But, the biggest concern I've heard from conservatives is Joe O'Day right here at 710 KNUS in this very room saying that he and his wife had prayed about it. And if the vote had come up, if he had been sitting in the Senate when the vote came up, he would have voted to codify, put into federal law, the precepts of Roe v. Wade. And that's just such a concern for Republicans who support our platform.
And when he said that there, it was crickets in the room, not a sound.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think he has any chance of winning, but we'll see. But, sure. You know, for governor, I'm still going to think about it. I'm going to go vote in person. I'm right by Cook Park down here, so they have a voting site. And I'm bringing my ballot just in case there's a problem. I'll just stick it in the box.
That's great, Peter. Well, I appreciate you weighing in, and that's a lot of what this last Saturday before the primary show is about. Any candidates who've wanted to have called in, they're welcome. And, getting your take and everybody else's take, it was very interesting what Rich Wyatt said, that when they have these big, massive meetings up in the mountains, these Mountain Republican Club meetings, and he said there were a number of people who came up and said they still had not decided. So it's important to continue these conversations and for these candidates to run right up to the end.
Absolutely, man. I agree. You have a good day.
Hey, you do the same. All right. We've got, I think, enough time. I think I got my sound problem figured out. Really interesting to look back. This was the third presidential debate. This is in light of the two Supreme Court decisions this week. This is the third presidential debate between Donald J. Trump and Hillary Clinton. And I think you'll find Trump's comments on both of these things very, very interesting. The disgraced and interruptive Chris Wallace was the moderator. God help us all.
She knows nothing about technology or setting up accounts.
No, still haven't solved the sound problem. So I think what we'll do is I do have a clip here that I want to share with you after the decision came out from the Supreme Court. This was AOC, and everybody sit tight on the phones. We're full again. Jack, Gary, Casper, in that order. We'll pick you up on the other side of this next break. We just don't have time to get into any definitive calls right now. This is this was AOC at SCOTUS. That is real insurrectionist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez at the Supreme Court. Illegitimate, into the streets, illegitimate, into the streets. Just simply incredible. And then, of course, we did have the very sharp, very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, oops, I fell off my bicycle, but I promise I'm okay, Joe Biden, when he first got word of the release of the Roe v. Wade overturning decision yesterday by the Supreme Court of the United States.
I have a helicopter waiting for me to take off. We're going to have plenty of time to talk about a lot of this.
Do you think the Supreme Court is broken, in your view?
I think the Supreme Court has made some terrible decisions.
But these decisions were made by the Supreme Court.
Will you reconsider your previous opposition to expanding the court, sir? What about term limits?
He's just walking away. The man cannot speak off the cuff. Can't do it. And by the way, if you missed Kamala Harris at the start of the show, this is her latest.
That we are guided by what we see that can be, unburdened by what has been.
Brilliant, brilliant rhetoric. And then, as if you haven't had enough Democrat audio today.
There is a war out there, and we need to recognize that we've got to armor up.
That's right. This is not a drill.
It's not a drill, armor up. Violent rhetoric every time you turn around if the radical left does not get their way. Do you get it yet, America? Do you get it yet, moderate Republicans who just go along to get along? Do you get it that we are at a precipice? We are at a tipping point, but the great awakening is underway. And for me, it is so, so very exciting. Anyway, we do need to take our break. We've got full lines. We're going to jump right back into them when we return here. Final hour, Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.